What's up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. We're on episode 61, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that helps us out and helps the podcast keep on going. As always, I have Derek with me. What's up, Derek?
Yo, what's going on?
Not much. We have a sort of announcement this week, or I guess it's kind of an announcement. We passed 1,000 followers on Instagram. I think it's a pretty big deal.
Nice.
Because I think, like, in the past, I don't know, we were down pretty low, and we actually really started using it. We post usually at least one thing a day on there. So thank you to everybody that has followed us on Instagram. If you haven't, it's just Think Computers, all one word, on Instagram. If you like computer stuff, if you like, we feature a ton of mods on there, kind of funny computer type things on there as well, gaming memes and things like that. So if you are on Instagram, go ahead and follow us on there. And we'll jump right into our reviews this week, and we have three pretty cool reviews. The first one is a pretty cool hybrid tablet PC from a company that I've never heard of. It's called iRulu, and it's their Walkin Book 3, and this is a Windows 10 powered tablet sort of hybrid deal. And I think these are extremely popular because they're not that expensive, for one, and two, right, they're running Windows 10, which is nice. I think that, you know, a lot of people don't need this super powerful laptop or tablet, really, but you know, they want something that they can check email, they can go on Facebook, they can watch some YouTube videos, maybe do some word processing, and this is the perfect thing for that. This, like I said, this is a $199, and it's selling on Newegg right now. It features a Baytrail Atom quad core processor inside there. Who reviewed it was Derek, not you, Derek, but the other Derek.
Certainly not me.
He really liked it. And I think, again, it's really hard to discern from the more popular brands like Samsung and the others to these other brands. Just for the fact that mostly it's the same components inside. A lot of these are all the same components. There's just a different branding on it. And I think it's really great because as these systems get more powerful, they're going to be able to do more and offer much better, you know, price per performance ratio as far as, you know, getting things done and things like that. And I really do like this because for me, working on a tablet is just not – sometimes I can be productive on a tablet, but I like that keyboard, right?
Yeah, I hate working on a tablet.
Yeah, so what this does is it gives you – you can use it as a tablet, or you can – it has a detachable keyboard that plugs right in, and you can use it just like you would a laptop. And I think that form factor is really great because there's some things you just want to do on a tablet, right? Like if you're on a plane and you just want to watch a movie, tablet's great, and it uses far less power. But if you want to send some emails or you want to do some word processing or something like that, being productive, you want that tactile feel of a keyboard. I think it's a pretty cool product, and it's great to see more of these come out that are actually pretty good. You know, because in the past we've seen a lot of these that just aren't good.
Yeah, there's just – the market is full of knockoffs and cheap versions of decent tablets.
Yeah, so this is good, and again, I do like it that it's sort of a hybrid, so definitely go ahead and check out that review. Yeah. I took a look at a motherboard this week, and this was the ASRock Fatality Z170 Gaming K6 Plus. This motherboard is the second highest Fatality gaming motherboard in their Z170 line from ASRock. It basically has everything that you would want in a gaming motherboard. You have a really high quality audio. You have killer E2400. Yeah, killer E2400 gaming networking. USB 3.1. You have M.2 slots in there. You have SATA Express. You have quad SLI and quad Crossfire support in there. So you can load it up with either three single cards or two dual GPU cards, and you're ready to go for some intense gaming. Has a very high VRM, a 12-phase VRM, which is pretty high for Z170. So if you want to pump a lot of power in there, you can do that, and it's very stable. The only downfall of this, and this is with every ASRock motherboard, is their software is just not up to par. A lot of people may not worry about the software, but if I get a motherboard, I want to be able to use the software. And a lot of these, especially ASRock and Gigabyte, I would say, and even MSI has really stepped up the game when it comes to their companion software with their motherboards. They just have so many different features and so many things that really bring value to the motherboard, and allow you to do a lot of things without having to go in the BIOS and without having to restart your PC. And this software is just very limited, and it seems old, and
Yeah, it looks really old. I'm looking at your screens right now. It looks really old.
it seems old, and it's just not, with a Z170 board, I would just expect a lot more.
It's 2016. It should just be much more polished.
One thing that was cool about this motherboard is we reviewed a couple ASRock Z170 boards, and they just had their basic UEFI BIOS, but this one has a new easy mode, which we've seen from a lot of other motherboard manufacturers. What this does is
Like a 3D mode.
sort of, yeah. So what it does is when you boot up into the BIOS, it goes into easy mode, and it has all of the main features, or like all of the main settings that you would want. Like you can change your boot priority, you can enable XMP, there's some easy overclocking in there, you can see the speed of your memory, all that kind of stuff all in one screen, and it's the first time I've seen it from ASRock, and they've done a pretty good job at it, so I do like that.
That's cool.
So yeah, but if you're looking sort of for that no-frills gaming motherboard, this is it. A lot of the newer motherboards that we're seeing, especially the ones the second generation Z170s, have the RGB lighting and all that other kind of cool stuff. You don't have that here, but it has high quality components, all of the gaming features that you would want. It supports multiple graphics cards. So yeah, I definitely like the board.
It's a good, it looks like a good layout. I like the spacing.
Yeah, I do like the
It's a good
spacing.
design thing scheme.
Yeah, I like the spacing. It does have a debug LED on it, and that's actually at the bottom. A lot
Yeah.
of those are placed towards the top, and if you have a case where you have a lot of stuff going on, the top of your motherboard's pretty much covered.
Yeah, a
So
lot of
with this,
times.
it's at the bottom, so you can easily see it if you have a window in there. It does have a clear CMOS on the back I/O panel as well, so you
Oh,
don't have
nice.
to change a jumper or anything like that, and you don't have to open your case up to go ahead and clear the CMOS. It's on the back of the motherboard. So yeah, I liked it, and I would definitely recommend it if you're looking for a gaming Z170 board. So
Nice.
moving on to your review, it seems like we have a review from everybody this week.
Yeah.
So you took a look at the ASIO MGK1 RGB mechanical gaming keyboard, and I believe this is their latest mechanical keyboard. So you can tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean it's an RGB mechanical keyboard. What you got here is it's like a standalone board, right? A lot of what we're seeing these days, it's can use because some companion software, and you can do a lot of different things on your desktop. This is all the controls are built right into the board, so it's just a pretty standard mechanical keyboard with Kailua switches, and all the lighting control is built right into it. Which is depending on who you are, it's either it's nice or it's like a downfall. I would have liked more controls, a few more options, but. It is nice because you can just plug it in and you have control over everything without having to set up any software. So you could take it from one machine to the other without having to mess with anything, and still have all the lighting work correctly. Overall, I felt like it was a pretty nice keyboard, but it's the Kale switches, and to me, they're just not very impressive switches.
Yeah,
So that really takes away from it.
you can always tell a difference.
Yeah.
I've
They're
re
just like sloppier.
yeah, they're nice. I mean, obviously, if you're moving from non-mechanical to mechanical, you'll definitely
Yes.
tell the difference. But
Much better than any dome switch I've ever used. I said
yeah,
that in there. They're far better than any dome switch, but they're just not MX keys or MX
yeah,
switches.
yeah. Now, how was the performance as far as gaming and things like that?
It was pretty good. I had issues in Battlefield 4 with reloading. Sometimes I would hit R for reload, and I'd get nothing. So I started spamming it after a while just to make sure I was reloading. Which
Okay.
so I don't know if that was like a specific game issue or I never had any issues typing, like missing keys. But I wouldn't expect to either because you're
Yeah.
not really like going that. my typing speed isn't fast enough to overwhelm the throughput. Because it does advertise having NK rollover, which should eliminate ghosting, but that reload for me, that was pretty critical. It actually killed me a few times, so wasn't thrilled with that. Overall, though, I feel like it's a good board. It's got volume control scroll wheel on it, which
Yeah, I love the
I love
scroll
that.
wheel. Yeah. I have the keyboard that I use now just has the up and down, which is fine, but the scroll wheel is so much nicer, I feel. It just
I
makes
don't want
it.
to have to hit a function key for the vol when I want to adjust the volume,
Yeah.
right? I don't want to hit function and then hit, spam the
Or
F3 key.
even the hitting the key multiple times to turn it up and down is annoying. When
Yeah.
you can just scroll it, it's so much nicer.
Yeah. Like a video starts playing and it's super loud and you got headphones on or something, you can just like spin the scroll wheel, and it's down all the way.
Yeah. Now your the lighting, is it, did you like the lighting?
The lighting was, it's like I said, it's limited because it lacks software, right?
Yeah.
So you can't, there's very few custom things you can do with it. It comes with six modes, which they're okay. There's so many of these RGB boards out now that I feel like the level is pretty high for what you need to be able to do with them. And this is like 2 years ago, this would have been like cutting edge, but it's not 2 years
And the
ago
thing is,
anymore.
too, is we have companies like Corsair that have a community website where people have built specific profiles, RGB profiles, and it plugs into the software. So you have the ability to have all these awesome RGB profiles that you can switch in an instant, instead of having to go in and, as you know, do it all on the board. I think that is a so much higher selling point. When it comes to these
Definitely.
RGB boards, is because you have that ability. Even having software in general is much better because you can completely reprogram the board a lot of the times. You can set up macros. You can do all that stuff with software. And it's weird to see a mechanical keyboard, a mechanical gaming keyboard, where you don't have the ability to do that.
Yeah, it's that's a little disappointing.
But it looks like a nice board. The RGB does look pretty nice. You took
Yeah,
some
it's got
pretty
a
good
good
shots.
finish. Aluminum faceplate on it, which I like. It's very similar to some of the Corsair boards, I would say.
Okay, cool.
In
Well,
that it doesn't have the flush mount faceplate. It's like sunk down below the keys. The
yeah.
lighting, the other thing was that the lighting through the keycaps themselves is not very bright.
Okay.
And it's actually the spill from that comes out from behind the keycaps and reflects off the back of the faceplate. I felt was actually stronger. So take that however you will.
Yeah, it's kind of.
I would have liked brighter LEDs, but
All right. Well, definitely a cool board. Definitely check out the review to see all of what Derek thought about it. It does look like a good board. A lot of these
and
are.
I've used it for a long time, and it and I'm not like replacing it right away, but I will probably go back to my MX Blue equipped board.
Yeah, and that's a big thing too, is when you have these boards, if you're a Cherry MX person, moving to a different switch is very difficult. Even moving from different switch colors or types of switches is very difficult as well. I've always gone back to my Cougar 600K. I love this keyboard. It's Cherry MX Blues. It has all the function keys that I want. It's very hard once you're set on a key that you as key switch that you like, and a style of board. It's very hard to replace it, I would say.
Yeah,
So yeah.
I definitely agree. It's a very personal thing.
Yes.
But yep, it is what it is. The nice thing about the Kale Switch though is that they are a little bit quieter.
Okay.
So like if you are in a shared space, like an office environment, or you're in a house and you're gaming at night, like while people are trying to sleep, MX Blues are loud as hell.
Yeah.
So
All right.
yeah.
Well, definitely check out all three of our reviews this week. Definitely some cool products, and definitely all different products, which is actually pretty cool as well. So we'll move on to Case Mod Friday, because today is Friday, and each Friday we feature a case mod or build that's been completed in the community. And these don't have to be crazy mods. They don't have to be really anything. As long as it's a cool build that shows, creativity and something that we like and catches our attention, we'll obviously feature it. This week we have Project 7, and I think this is more of one of those clean builds. It's not super crazy. The reason why I chose this is also done by 76 Mods, and I don't know if this is like his first build or something like that. But the reason I chose this is because not many people make use of the orange color that he used and black and white altogether, and I think it just fits really well.
It's a really good looking build.
Yeah, and it's very clean. I like the cleanliness of this. You know, again, we feature these crazy, out of control builds, but I think, again, this shows you what you can do. There's not much modding in this. There is some, but not a whole lot. And I like that. I like that this just shows that you can build an extremely clean system. Obviously, he has a custom water cooling loop in there, and he's modded the case to support a vertical video card rather than a horizontal one, which I also like. And he has the clear top of the or clear bottom, rather, right? Or well, I guess
what are you talking about? The video card?
Yeah, clear top.
Yeah, he's just got the acrylic facing out so that you can actually see the channels.
Yeah, so you can see the water cooling channels, which I think is also really cool. I think that's one of the coolest things with graphics card water cooling is if you can see the channel.
Definitely.
And the mod. It's just a clean build. Really, really good. I mean, it looks...
It's actually... It's not modded in the sense that he changed the case itself, but it's color matched extremely well. It's very polished. It's very well finished. I actually have a lot of respect for this case. This is very well done.
Yeah, it's just very well done. The biggest modding parts is, as I said, he modded the case to support a vertical graphics card.
Right.
He did his own custom hard tubing, and he did a little bit of modding with setting up different cuts in the case for to support the water cooling, but that's basically it.
Yeah, he's got a couple of flow meter. Yeah, I guess you call him a flow meter.
Yeah.
Meters in there too that are custom modded into it. They're pretty cool.
Yeah, and he looks like he did a custom side panel on this custom front of the case with the fan controller and things like that. But again, this is not a whole lot of modding. This is what I love about these that turn out so well. It's like if you take your time and you don't have to know how to do all this crazy stuff, if you just, you know, you're using all stock parts for the most part and you're just getting them in the case and you maybe have to do a little bit of cutting or something, some slight modding, you can come out with a really great system. I think this is the perfect representation of that.
Yeah, this is just doing everything well.
Yep. So, yes, definitely check it out. This is the first time we've featured something from 7.6 Mods, to my knowledge.
I'd like to see some more.
So, yeah, if this is something that he's doing, he said he put over 200 hours into this, which is also really cool.
You know, with designing and definitely see that.
So, definitely check it out. We linked his Facebook on there, so you can check out all of his stuff. So, huge fan of this one. I love the clean builds. I don't know if I'm more fan of the clean build or the crazy ones. I'm not exactly sure.
They both have their place. Usually the clean builds grab me, though.
Yeah, I do like the clean builds because it's just like I want my PC to look like that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I want this awesome office situation with a PC that's just like that.
Yeah, so we'll move on from there to news this week, and we have different GPU news from both sides. We'll start with AMD, and their new GPU roadmap was released. And they initially released their GPU roadmap that showed pretty much all of what we're talking about, but none of it had dates on it, and we weren't really sure what the deal was and when these things are going to be coming out. So this new roadmap, it's the AMD official roadmap, and it shows what to expect coming up. So obviously this year we have Polaris coming out, and that is made up of Polaris 10 and Polaris 11. Mm-hmm. And those will feature some new things, which I'm sure most of you already know. New connections. So this will have HDMI 2.0 and DisplayPort 1.3. So that allows you to do a bunch of different things. A new HEVC encode and decode acceleration. That's H.265 acceleration. So if you're doing any encoding, these will definitely help you out. And I'm sure this will all be built into your either Final Cut Pro if you're on the Mac side, or Sony Vegas, or Adobe software. So it should be all built in. And of course, this is GCN fourth generation. And then we'll move to 2017. And again, Polaris 10 and Polaris 11 are not the big chip. If you're thinking about Polaris 10 and Polaris 11, they're not the successor to Fury. They're not.
Yeah, they're just a die shrink.
They're a die shrink of the Radeon 300 series. So it is likely that Polaris 10, Polaris 11 will use GDDR5 or GDDR5X. Yeah. You're not going to see HBM2 on any of these from what we know. But you will see increased performance, better
efficiency,
better efficiency, performance per watt. It should be 2.5 times, which is really good. And you'll see smaller cars, which I'm a huge fan of. I love the small cars. So,
yeah,
that's what to expect. Now, moving on to 2017, we have the Vega architecture, and Vega is expected to be the successor to Fiji and the Fury line. And this will feature HBM2. We're not sure, again, how it's going to be, if we're just going to have that one big line of cards like we had with Fury. So we had the Fury X, the Fury, and what's the small card? The Nano.
Yeah.
So we should see something along those lines with Vega. We're not sure if they're going to dip down into the lower. I wouldn't expect it. And then moving on to 2018, we'll have the Navi architecture, and that will feature an even newer next-generation memory, which we have no clue what it is.
But that's just postulating.
It's exciting to see. I know a lot of people are disappointed that Polaris will not make use of any HBM, but yeah, that's kind of expected if you see the way that this is going. But it's kind of cool because you have the updates to, you know, the 300 series and a much better performance, which is good. And it's at least from what we know, Polaris 10 and Polaris 11 are not rebrands, which is good. Yeah,
should be fully new.
Yeah, so fully new chips. So if we see this as, you know, 1 year we'll have an update to the mainstream line, and then the next year we'll have an update to the high end, the big chip. It's kind of cool to see it that way. It's different, so I kind of like that.
Yeah. So long as they can deliver good cards in both segments, yes, it'd be worth it. I do feel like we were kind of bait and switched by both NVIDIA and AMD on this HBM2 thing, though.
Yes, totally.
Like, it was hyped up so hard for a long time, and now neither company is really going to be releasing cards with it.
Yeah, that's kind of...
You think we've got a supply issue or a cost issue, maybe?
Well, I think it could be a cost thing. It could be a supply thing. I don't know what the yields are on HBM2.
Yeah.
And I think it's that... Do you really need a high-end card like that right now? I know for VR, yeah, but that's still... I mean, the headsets aren't even, like, out yet in the wild that much. You know, and you can still run VR on a single GPU card, really.
I think there's a market for a card that's as fast as you can possibly make.
But the thing is, at the same time, you know, they're still selling a lot of these cards.
Yeah.
And you know, they're just updating the performance segment, you know, which on the NVIDIA side is the GTX 980 line, you know, 900 series is going to be updated, and then on the AMD side it's the 300 series, the 380, 390s. And those are selling, and that's what everybody wants. And for PC use specifically, that's going to play every game you want at 1080p for sure. A lot of games, all of those will play 4K at 60 frames a second too. So you know, why put out
something? I don't think that's true, though. I don't think you're playing every game that's out there on like ultra settings at 4K.
Not ultra settings.
On these cards.
But you'll play at high settings at 4K, at 60.
Medium settings. Medium or low.
Playable settings.
There's games that are extremely demanding.
Yeah, what's the Far Cry Primal is very, very graphically intensive. I haven't played it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it
There's always a bleeding edge that will take whatever card they can make.
Yeah, but at the same time, you have cards like that on both, or I guess not on both sides. But you have the Pro Duo that just came out.
Yeah.
And that will get you everything that you want. I don't know what's on the NVIDIA side that would do that.
I mean. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, you're just disappointed because you wanted an HBM2 card. I know.
I did. I absolutely did.
Yeah.
But, I don't want to buy old techs for that next year.
But the thing is, you have to think about this, and you have to think about it as this is just like this is how technology is rolling, because the market for the new card, while you may think that it's needed, it is needed, but it's not needed in the capacity as the performance cards are. You know what I mean? So they're going to milk these performance cards just like Intel milks
But processors. I think that's ridiculous for the consumer.
Well, I don't think that they're thinking about you that much.
I think, you know, they are. These big corporations, I think they're thinking about my money.
Yeah, they're thinking about, yeah. So, yeah, I think a lot of us were bait and switch. I think at the beginning of the year, I definitely thought that we would see HBM2 across the line, especially on NVIDIA side. I really thought that that. I mean, that's what everybody was saying. That's what we thought. And then
I see very little reason to leave the 900 series right now.
If you have a high-end 900 series card, no way. Unless we see a big difference with Pascal as far as, you know, and again.
Yeah, they somehow haven't, like, yeah, unless they do something amazing, but.
Yeah, so we'll, again, as we get closer to launches of these cards, we'll know performance and we'll know what the deal is. But again, as you say, right now, if you have a 900 series card, there's no reason to upgrade to this, to the 10, or to the 1000 series or whatever they're going to call it.
Yeah, I just don't see it. There's just not new enough tech on it.
Yeah, so in my opinion. We will, talking about that as we go to our next story. Yeah. The reference cooler for the GTX 1080 has been pictured, and this is actually the full cooler this time. And it looks pretty cool.
I will say that it looks, finally, they like changed it enough to make it look different.
Yeah, so the cooler is the same type of design. It has the lateral blower type fan in there. That pushes air out of the back of the card, but it they've added more like lines to it, and it looks more aggressive.
The styling is much better.
Yeah, so,
and they ran with that old styling since what, the original Titan, I think.
Yeah, since the original Titan, that was the NVTTM cooling solution, as it was called, and that ran all the way from the original Titan all the way to the 900 series. That's through the 700 series to the 900 series. So I do like this. It's much more aggressive. I'm a fan of it. I think that even small things like this will get more purchases for them or get more sales.
Oh, yeah.
Because it just looks pretty badass.
It does. In fact, this can make your build look a lot better.
Yeah, so definitely definitely like that.
Hopefully this isn't just like a prototype, like test design. Because they've done that in the past, too.
Yeah, we'll have to see. But it's pretty cool. Definitely check out the picture on that post because it's pretty badass. Moving back to AMD, but on the processor side here, AMD's Wrath Cooler, which I believe we talked about a couple months ago. This is their new stock CPU cooler, which is pretty awesome. I'm a huge fan of this cooler. I've always actually been a fan of AMD stock coolers because they have been much better than the Intel. For a couple reasons. The biggest reason for me is the mounting system's so much better. I hate the Intel cooler. The
plastic push pins on the Intel stock coolers are terrible.
I hate it. Somebody needs to design a new one. AMD came out with this new Wrath cooler, it will now be packaged with the FX8350 and the FX6350. And this cooler is actually pretty cool. It features two heat pipes. It is your standard size cooler, but the actual shroud on the cooler lights up and says AMD, which I think is also cool. Mm-hmm. And it's proven to offer better performance and be quieter, which is obviously better. With these processors, these processors have already been out. So they're going to repackage them with this new cooler, and then maybe there might be a slight price bump, but not a lot. But if you're definitely going to be using the stock cooler, I would definitely get the ones with the Wraith because it is a pretty cool cooler. I would actually like to test this thing out, to be honest.
One of the new AMD chips.
I know. We gotta get AMD to send us some processors here.
Yeah.
Especially when new stuff
seems like the new line here, this AM4 line should be worth taking a look at, I would think.
Yeah, for sure. Especially on the motherboard side too. I would like to see some highly competitive AMD motherboards for sure. So,
yep.
So talking about something awesome, which I had the chance to take a look at back at CES. It seems like right now, like right before Computex, we're a couple weeks out from Computex, or a week out, something like that from Computex. It's at the end of May, right?
No, it's end of May.
Okay, I'm thinking it's like next week for some reason.
No, we're a little ways away.
Yeah, so I saw this at CES. This is the Lianli DK04, and this is their standing desk, but it's adjustable, which is awesome. And in the post, in the news post, I have my video from CES where I talk all about it. It's basically, so Lianli has these desk cases that have been extremely popular, but they're extremely expensive. But they are really
expensive.
They're all aluminum. Think of a desk being all aluminum. That's pretty expensive. Just to put together, they have these glass tops on the front that allow you to see inside and see your system. They support massive water cooling. They support like 480 millimeter rads in there. Tons of space. A couple of their cases, their desk cases, support dual systems. I mean, these are awesome. These are badass.
Yeah. Yeah.
Incredible quality. So they showed it at CES. It was a prototype there. It was basically one of their desk cases that is adjustable, mechanized adjustable. So you can just press a button and it will go up and down. And it's awesome. I would love one of these. I'm a huge fan of the standing desk, especially the adjustable one. You and I were just talking about this before we started the podcast, how I'm thinking about getting one of these that are adjustable. So at the end of the day, and when I'm tired, I can sit down a little bit. I don't have to be standing all day. Yeah. And to have my PC in there, which means I don't have to have my PC either under the desk or on the desk itself. So it would save space. And the glass top is just awesome.
Yeah, and it's just awesome.
And honestly, I don't think this is that expensive. It's $14.99. Which may think is super expensive, but these mechanical desks aren't super cheap. No. And you have to think about this is a full desk computer case, and it has
Basically, think that you're buying an extremely high end case, yeah. Right? Because this would be like buying a Case Labs, like a massive Case Labs case,
and you get an adjustable desk on top
of and that. An adjustable desk
all in one. So I don't think
you are right. That's really not that bad.
I don't think the pricing is horrible on it, especially because you can get some standing desks that are just a desk and they do the exact same thing and they're thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
So I think this is really great. I loved it at CES. I wanted to take it home.
I wonder, do they have details on warranty?
No, they do not.
Because that's something I'd be concerned about as far as like the mechanism, the motor and all that.
Yeah.
You know, how long are they going to support that?
Yeah. So, but I think this is awesome. And if you're in the, and if you're looking at a standing desk and maybe you're a modder or you want to build an awesome water cooled system inside that desk, you can do it. And it's not, I don't think it's that super expensive. So.
No. Not if you can if you're starting from nothing, right? If you're like, I need a desk, I need a case, I'm building an all new PC. If you're starting from scratch, this really isn't that bad.
Yeah, so I'm a huge fan. I definitely want one. Leah, send me one. I'll do it.
I have a feeling they would want this back.
Yeah, it's like one of those things that I would like beg for. Like, there's not many things. Like, I don't even like a lot of this. You know, the stuff doesn't super excite me. I mean, I love graphics cards and all the cool things that we get into review. I love reviewing them. But one of the things that super excites me is this case. I'm a huge case person in general, and this is something that I would definitely want.
Yeah, cases are very exciting. I don't know why. It's like furniture or something.
Yeah, totally. So. Moving on to Apple, they updated their MacBook, which I know both of us aren't super interested in, but if you are a Mac person, which I know a lot of people are, and a lot of PC people are, actually use MacBooks as their main laptop.
Yeah.
And they updated it with the latest Intel processors, improved graphics performance because of the processor, and faster flash storage, which adds an additional hour of battery life to it. And they've added a new color, which is the rose gold, which is a huge, huge selling point for the.
The ladies love the rose gold.
Yeah, so it was a huge selling point for the iPhone 6. I think it was either 6 or 6S that they've added it. So if you've been kind of on the fence about upgrading your MacBook, now these ones have the fastest Skylake processors in there. These use the Core M, I'm sorry.
A little bit slower.
Yeah, a little bit slower, but these are still pretty good. And they use the new Intel HD Graphics 515, 25% faster graphics performance. And it uses
these are Airs or regular MacBooks?
These are the MacBooks.
Oh, okay.
And then it also uses PCI Express based flash storage.
Okay.
So yeah. So a lot of cool stuff in there if you are a Mac person.
The battery life is pretty impressive. 11 hours of iTunes movie playback.
Yeah.
That's pretty.
The one thing about really the Macs is they're extremely powerful for what they're used for, and they have a lot of things that I wish a lot of the PCs that I get into review do have. Especially battery life is one. If you're on a plane for 5 hours, usually especially if you're doing work,
you're at the very edge of what you're going to be able to use.
Yeah, and these are great. Because of the Intel stuff in there, if you are doing movie editing, and Final Cut Pro is made specifically for use on these, so the encoding doesn't kill your battery and things like that. These are really great.
Yeah, it's the whole Mac ecosystem though. Like, it's the one thing that they do that sets them apart, in my opinion, is that everything is tailored specifically for their hardware.
That's what makes it good.
That's what makes it better, because their components are nowhere near what you'll find on a PC. But PCs, all the software conflicts so badly. It conflicts, and then it causes, you know, lower battery life, wasted energy, and wasted cycles.
Yeah.
So
totally.
You can't take it away from Apple on that front.
Yeah.
Although, what pricing are we looking at?
It's at the bottom of the article.
$12.99 and $15.99. That's really not that bad. Yeah. Either, to be honest, $512 for $15.99. I mean, it's more, but it's not like that much more than the best Ultrabooks.
Yeah. So I mean, again, and the thing is that people like, if one thing I had always complained about Macs were that they were overpriced for the performance based on the processor, but there is sort of a leeway in there because, again, all of the software is made specifically for the Mac, so it's going to perform better than your typical PC software. Yeah. It pains me to say that, but it is true.
And our facts of life.
And our one buddy, Rob, who is a PC guy,
very much a PC guy.
He's worked for two major PC companies. His daily laptop is a MacBook. So that should tell you something about, you know, he always has like 30 tabs open, and he doesn't have a problem. So, yeah. So, if you're looking for a MacBook, they've been updated and you get the new color in there. So,
yeah.
But talking about Apple, there was a huge thing that came out last week. We covered it over the weekend, really. It is that QuickTime for PC has not been updated, really, or there hasn't been a fix for it for a while, and there's major security issues, and the Department of Homeland Security issued a warning that recommended people removing it from their PC.
That's pretty
and it's PC only. It's not the Mac version. If you're a Mac, you don't worry about it, but it's the PC version because they basically kind of abandoned it on PC, which makes a lot of sense because I haven't used QuickTime and I can't tell you how long.
Yeah. Every once in a while you'd run across something I needed it for, and then I would install it and then uninstall it.
And this is the specific program. This isn't the codex. There are QuickTime codecs that you need for specific importing and exporting files for movie editing and things like that. This is the actual QuickTime application.
Yeah, but the biggest issue with this, I mean, obviously, aside from all the vulnerable PCs that are out there, is that it is not that QuickTime. A lot of the codecs are used in Adobe software for film editing from QuickTime, and they are no longer, because of this, you essentially unsupported, and Adobe is basically saying we don't have a fix for it.
Yeah, that's not good.
So people, professional users, need these codecs for their workflow, and they basically don't have a solution for it.
Yeah, I think that they will. I don't know a lot of people who, I guess some people who are recording on devices that record in .mov, QuickTime file, but I know all the stuff that I record doesn't, and when I export, I'm not using it. I used M.264, which I think a lot of people should. But
yeah, it's certain programs, but like within, say, Lightroom, when you go to do video playback, it requests you to install QuickTime. So, yeah.
So that's not good, especially if you're on PC, because there are vulnerabilities. So if you do have it on your PC, I guess a year ago, a couple years ago, when you downloaded iTunes, if you're an iTunes person, it automatically downloaded QuickTime. So that still might be on your PC. So you just want to make sure, just go to your programs, and if it's in there, and if you're not using it, which I wouldn't suggest using it as a video player anyways, you know, just download VLC. That's what I would recommend if you're doing any type of watching videos or something like that. So get QuickTime off your PC. It is vulnerable.
If you don't know VLC, definitely get on VLC.
Yeah, it's videoland.org to download VLC. Definitely would recommend that over this for sure.
Over any player, actually.
Yeah. So definitely just get that off of your PC as fast as you can.
You know what's the only thing about VLC that I've always thought is it has a really lame graphical interface.
It does, but I don't. That's the whole reason, because it's lightweight and it doesn't take up
Yeah.
a lot of.
Extra resource.
Yes.
Yeah, it's by far the best player that you can
Yeah.
get.
Yes. So move on to from that. So again, make sure you remove that from your PC.
Yeah.
We'll move on to some keyboard news, and this is actually pretty cool.
This is super cool.
So Cherry, the company that makes all of these Cherry MX switches that we talked about earlier, they released a brand new mechanical switch, and this one's called the MX Speed, and it's the fastest Cherry switch on the market. It's ideally used for mechanical gaming keyboards where you want that really fast response.
I was thinking typing.
Typing could be too. I'm really excited to get some boards in that have this. This is it has an actuation point of 1.2 millimeters. It's extremely short travel time, and
Yeah.
low actuation force, which is only 45 cn. So it's a high precision linear switch, optimized for both low response times and high switching frequencies.
So basically, it doesn't go down far and it comes back really fast.
Yes. This was just launched, and their last launch was, which was the RGB, took forever to come out. It was announced, and then I think it took almost 6 months to see
Yeah, that's not
a
good.
keyboard with it. And they launched exclusively with Corsair. They're also launching exclusively with Corsair with this switch, but the keyboards are available now. They were just
Ah.
announced yesterday when this key was announced, and they are they announced Corsair announced three keyboards with this. They are the K70 RGB Rapid Fire. So all of the new Corsair keyboards are called Rapid Fire because, again, the fast switch. So
Right.
we have the K70 RGB Rapid Fire, the K65 RGB Rapid Fire, and the K70 Rapid Fire. So basically, two K70s, one that's RGB, one that's not, and the K65, which is the smaller form factor.
Yeah,
So
slim down, no numpad version.
So the prices, the K70 RGB is $169.99, K65 $139.99, and K70 $129. So not super expensive. Again, these are new, and Corsair, at least for the time being, we don't know how exclusive their exclusivity is
Yeah.
with this, but they are the only ones that are going to have this up front.
Man,
So
I would like to give that a shot.
yeah, it would be
'Cause
pretty
the
neat.
Corsair board is really, really good. I have
Yeah,
a K70 equivalent,
their
and
K70s are
yeah.
nice.
Mine has reds. I don't actually use that board.
Yeah, so pretty cool to see that, and great to see them launching with Corsair again, who has really great gaming products. A huge fan of their gaming products, actually.
Yeah.
So we'll move on to some gaming news, and we try to end our news with gaming news. So we have two pretty cool things. One is really interesting. So last week on the podcast, we talked about the Titanfall 2 teaser, which means we will see Titanfall 2. And somebody went to the Titanfall 2 website and looked at the background image and kind of adjusted it so they could see more.
Yeah.
And it kind of, sort of looks like that the Titan is running on the wall.
Yeah, kind of.
And that would bring a whole, yeah, kind of. See, to me, when I look at it, it looks like the guy is running on the wall, which you were able to do. Like your character, not the
Yeah.
Titan, was able to run on the wall, and then the Titan is just following it.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like to me. But a lot of people are saying that the Titans are going to be able to run on the wall, which will bring a whole new mechanic to the game, I think,
Yeah.
and make it pretty cool. The other new mechanic, of course, is in the teaser they showed a Titan with a sword, which will be pretty cool melee combat for Titans.
Yeah.
But it's just something to really think about, and it's got a lot of people excited because, again, this was a huge game when the first one came out. So
Yeah, it won a lot of awards, actually.
obviously, as we get in more information, people kind of have these suggestions of what things might be. It's definitely exciting. So, and again, the Titanfall 2 will have a full reveal on June 12th at the at E3. So definitely stay tuned, and we'll have all the information on that because this is a game that we'll be following. For sure.
Yeah.
So, also a really cool story is that you can now play Counter-Strike 1.6 on your Android phone,
That's funny.
which is awesome, I think. I don't know how playable it would be, But Counter-Strike 6 at one time was the most popular shooter for PC. I played it a lot. Counter-Strike 1.6 was the start of competitive gaming, especially team competitive gaming. That it was the real start to that. And I think that it's such an iconic game, and every time I play older maps or maps that have been from 1.6 that have been, you know, put into the new game, it just brings back that nostalgia. And it's cool that you can play it on tablet, Android tablet or Android phone, and it works, which is crazy. That just shows you how far mobile technology has gone.
Essentially, that means that your phone is now as powerful as the PCs we were playing on. When was this? 2005?
I don't know when this
2004?
Was. 2004? No, way before that. Way before that? I played this in high school, and I graduated in 2003. So you're looking at, 2002? 2002, 2001, something like that. Gotcha. But still, very cool. We have a link to the page where you can download it and put it on your Android device. So you can play it, which is kind of cool if you want to try to play it. So that is our news for the week. A lot of cool stuff this week as we gear up about what I would say a little over a month away from Computex. So a lot of cool stuff coming up, and PAX is this weekend, and there should be some cool stuff. So definitely stay tuned next week for all that. A lot of gaming stuff, and not only just gaming as, you know, games in general, but the gaming hardware will have a lot of cool stuff as well. So moving on from that to coming up next week, I will be taking a look at the Intel 750 series 400 gigabyte PCI Express solid state drive, and this is their NVMe drive. I'm really excited to test this. This is their fastest available drive out there, and I have the PCI Express version, which I love the PCI Express drives. Sure. And Intel
super fast
is really good at their SSDs, and this is actually the first Intel SSD that I'm gonna be reviewing, so I'm pretty excited for that. So I have the 400 gigabyte, which gives you sequential reads up to 2200 megabytes a second, and writes up to 900 megabytes a second. So that is a lot. That's very fast.
Yes, it is.
So I'm pretty pumped for that. Also, be taking a look at the Fractal Design Core 500.
You gotta finally do that?
Yes, a lot of busy stuff happened this week. I will be getting into this. I shot a really cool video for it as well. So definitely stay tuned for that. This is Fractal Design's Core series. It's the 500, which means it's their mini ITX version, which I think is super cool.
It looks really cool.
And it supports full-size graphics cards, all that kind of fun stuff. It has room for 3 hard drives. Really cool. And I really like it so far. So definitely stay tuned for that. And I have a really small and cool CPU cooler from CryoRig. It is their M9, which is made to basically be a better replacement for the Intel stock cooler. This is supposed to be 30% better performance than the Intel stock cooler. It's super small. It should be easy to install. I haven't installed it yet, but I've taken a look at it, and it's very, very small. And it's just somebody who wants that, you know, a little bit better performance than the Intel stock cooler. Obviously, it should be easier to install than the Intel stock cooler.
I would think so.
And just gives you that better performance, and has a pretty cool look to it, as all CryoRig stuff does. Definitely pumped to get that installed this weekend and test it all out. And we might have some more stuff. I have some cool mobile stuff in, but I'm not sure if I'm going to get to it, so I didn't want to talk about it yet. But we definitely will have some cool stuff next week.
I'll tell you what, a CryoRig cooler with the new NVIDIA Shroud or cooler on the cards, that would look really good together.
Yeah, for sure. So that brings us to the end of the podcast here. And did you do anything fun this week?
Nope.
You didn't see any movies?
Nope.
That's weird for you.
Busy. I had a bike race. I had a big bike race on Saturday and rode on Sunday. I was really busy all day Sunday. So
didn't you win? You won something. Didn't you win?
I got second in my age group and sixth overall. But out of like a couple thousand people, that seems pretty good.
You know, I've been going to the gym and I've been going on the bike.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, usually like 1 or 2 days instead of lifting, I do the bike and I do an hour. It's like 600 calories according to the bike.
Dude, cycling burns way more calories than just about any other type of exercise.
Oh, really?
Because it's continuous movement, yeah.
Yeah, and I can, like, pretend like I'm not there. Like, I can just, like, I, like, go on my phone and, like, go through, like, Facebook or something like that.
Zone
or,
out.
Or, like, send emails. Yeah, because when you're, like, I guess that's why they have the TVs there too, right? Like,
yeah.
I hate running. Like, even on a track, like, I hate it. I hate running.
Oh, yeah. It's horrible.
What's the other thing? The elliptical? Not a fan of that either. But, like, the bike, I can sit there and I can move my legs, which is fine. And I'm sweating. But I can, like, be on Instagram or I can, you know, and that will just, like, take the time off because I force myself to do an hour, right?
Yeah.
But I just, like, if I keep on looking at that, like, I keep on looking at the timer on there.
Oh, yeah. Like, it doesn't move.
Yeah, so it's, like, if I'm on Instagram, then I'm, like, oh, 30 minutes went by. Awesome. Like, you know what I mean? But, and I'm still, like, I'm keeping my heart rate up. Like, I'm still doing the correct thing. At least I think I am. Yeah. You know? So, yeah. But, cool. I got a pretty cool – I finally opened a pretty cool thing that we had gotten to review a while ago, and I just haven't opened it yet, was the Swagway X1, which is one of those cool little hoverboards.
Yeah,
and
which I think you're going to kill yourself on.
No, it's – so honestly, when these things came out, I was like, this is super dumb. These are stupid, but they are a lot of fun.
Really?
Like a ton of fun.
So like, because they look so stupid.
They do, but they're fun.
And like, they remember they had, like, the thing at even... Oh, no, you weren't there. They even had those at CES at one of the expos.
Yeah.
And I was just like, why are those here? Because they look so dumb.
No, but here's the thing is they are fair... Like, if you live somewhere, like New York City, where, like, you had to go down... Like instead of... A lot of people in New York City, a lot of people bike, a lot of people skateboard. And this is something that you could use to go, you know...
as a valid form of transportation?
Yes.
You really think it could be a valid form of transportation?
Yes. Totally. If you live somewhere that doesn't have hills and it's flat.
You try going up a hill and it didn't go well?
I haven't taken it outside yet.
Oh, okay.
But it's very intuitive. It's self-balancing, which I think is awesome technology, which not a lot of people realize, and you don't realize it until you're on it, but it self-balances itself. So that enables you to go really fast and do all that kind of stuff.
You just stand there.
I did take a video the first time I used it. I almost died. I didn't almost die, but, like, when you get on it, you're not used to, like, stepping on something and it wanting to move. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Definitely stay tuned for the video. I'm actually – this is going to be it's going to be a pretty long video because I'm going to get a lot of my friends to try it for the first time and see their reaction. Because I think it's one of those products that's like that where you get the reaction of all that kind of stuff. So I've been playing with that a lot. Yeah. I've been just rolling around my apartment in it, which is fun. And then I also did some spring cleaning, which is something I didn't really want to do, but I forced myself to do it. I had all these boxes and all this junk behind my couch, and I just needed cleaned out, and that took a whole day. But it definitely more organized, so definitely pumped about that.
Easier to do work that way.
Yeah, so anything else?
I mean, if nobody's been paying attention, Game of Thrones and Silicon Valley start their new seasons this Sunday.
I'm pumped for Silicon Valley. I kind of fell out of Game of Thrones. I haven't been watching a lot of TV because I've been trying to be productive, for one. Or, like, I haven't been watching a lot of shows, you know, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
I was on... I forget where I was in Game of Thrones. I'd have to really look. But I still love the show. It's just, like, an hour is a long time for me to sit down.
Yeah.
Especially when I'm trying to be super productive with a lot of stuff going on. But I will definitely catch back up at some point.
Yeah,
Silicon Valley,
and then Silicon Valley is obviously epic,
and it's only half an hour.
Perfect
lunchtime show, and I love Silicon Valley. I love
it's like the characters. It's like nerd porn.
Yeah, it's great. So definitely pumped to see that continue, and hopefully that continues for a while. It's a really good show.
Yeah, I could go for a good 9-10 seasons of Silicon Valley.
Yeah, for sure. so yeah, that is it for our podcast this week. As always, guys. You can follow along. We'll have a show notes page that has everything that we talked about. So as I say, go check out that picture or go check out the article. You can click on it and go ahead and check that out. Pretty much on all of your podcasting services, you just type in Think Computers, all one word, and we are on there. And again, thanks everybody that's followed us on Instagram. Really trying to build that community on there, and it's a great platform, and I love sharing computer photos and things like that.
Great.
Yeah, and also follow us on Snapchat. I've been doing a lot of behind the scenes Snapchat. A lot of me riding around on the hoverboard is on Snapchat. That again is just Think Computers, all one word, on Snapchat. Go ahead and follow us on there, and until next week, catch you guys later.